Mr. Pierce and myself, Sarah Lehman. The first bill we have up today is House Bill 325, which we heard previously, and we went over some amendments. We've had a committee substitute drafted, and we have that before us, and I'd like to have a motion to use this as our market vehicle.
So moved.
Okay, is any objection to the adoption of the Z version, agenda with 421? Hearing none, we have before us committee substitute. Representative Green, you want to give us your reactions to the changes, and they're okay with you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, they are. I concur with changes as represented in the CS. Excuse me, the Senate CS.
Let me just ask one question, because I know this was one that came up last time, and it wasn't picked up in the CS, and that was where the $15 per barrel charge applies. And if I remember correctly, the answer we heard was at the LAC meter, and that was not incorporated in here. Do you have any objection to that clarification being made?
None so whatsoever.
Is that consistent with what others are? I guess I could ask them to come up here and say, but your opinion, that's okay. Mr. Boyd, you online, is that your understanding? Okay, we just heard a little bit of an acknowledgement that you're there, but we haven't heard your testimony. The question was about the location of where the $15 per barrel price would apply, and I remember the testimony previously at being at the LAC meter. Is that your understanding?
Sorry, I was missing there. For the record, my name is Ken Boyd. I'm the director of Division of Oil and Gas, and I'm slightly out of breath, so. As you go on the testimony, Mr. Chairman, because of page 1, line 12, it says, and I'm laying there, big A, only the portion unless it's reported royalty. I think the assumption is it's at the LAC meter, pump station 1.
Okay, you're saying with that language in there that makes it so the assumption is that it's LAC meter. If that's the case, do you have any problem with the just clarifying that in the language?
Can I understand your question, Mr. Chairman?
Okay, thank you. I'll take that as a no that you don't know. My question was, do you think that we need to clarify the language to that is at the LAC meter? Question is, you see the language, is it necessary for us to clarify that? I mean, that's your understanding and that's our understanding, but is there any basis that somebody else might have a different understanding? Okay, how about if we just adopt that as a conceptual amendment? We'll have the drafters look at that, and if necessary to clarify it, we'll have them draft up something to do that. We have a motion to that effect, Senator Pierce.
I'm sorry.
A motion to adopt a conceptual amendment just to clarify that this would be at the LAC meter, if that's necessary to further clarify.
So moved.
Any objection to that amendment? Hearing none, the amendment passes. We have the CS as amended, and I'll just note that Senator Taylor and Senator Lincoln have joined us.
On that, what does that mean, $15 per barrel?
Representative Green?
Well, relative to today's prices, that would be probably somewhere between $22 and $23.
maybe as high as 24, I'm not sure.
So in other words, this takes, you take off your transportation costs first?
Mm-hmm. So the sales price would have to be something in the neighborhood of 20 plus. We probably reached that, and the members of the industry could probably tell better, but I would think that when we spiked, we probably reached this. I think they've indicated that there is about a $9 transportation charge.
Further questions of Representative Green? Thanks for joining us. Is there, I don't have the sign-up sheet. Anybody here in Juneau wants to testify on the committee substitute? Mr. Boyd or members of your staff, did you wish to testify further? We have the letter in our packets. Oh, excuse me before I, Rick Papiano, did you wish to testify? And John?
May it please the committee, we'd like to, we don't have anything further to offer at this time to add to our testimony last week. However, we would like the opportunity to testify in response to anything that Mr. Boyd brings up.
Okay. Mr. Tillinghouse, same response? Okay. Mr. Boyd, we have a letter from you, and let me just suggest that, and you may want to respond to this, and several of the points that you bring up in the letter are in opposition to the bill are some of the same points that have been raised in this committee as concerns regarding Senate Bill 318. And just wondered if your position is inconsistent, or am I missing something in the letter? Well, let me read this sentence. The relief is awarded, it's inflexible. The relief is awarded without any showing of any economic necessity.
Where are you reading from?
Page four, at the top. And that is what the testimony on North Star has shown, and yet the department is endorsing that one, but then you're saying on this that it would not be appropriate. I just wondered why the disparate position. That would be the first comment.
Well, Mr. Chairman, again, we've presented at North Star a sort of a package, a contract that covers a lot of different things. Nobody has said the field but economic. It's just we need something to move forward faster. What we don't have here is a showing at all. I'm not saying here that the relief might not be needed. It might very well be needed. It might very well be the necessity this bill provides, but we don't know that because we haven't even looked at it. All I'm asking for is to do a complete analysis and then to find out if this is a need that there is a 2% or a 0% or 450 barrels or 500 or 300. What is the right combination of numbers? At North Star, we presented a complete economic analysis with the idea that you think it's a good idea or not, and if you don't do it. What we're saying here is we don't have anything at all except a bunch of numbers, and we don't have the analysis, and we need to do that, not just for Schrader Bluff, but for all of them that have yields, which this bill applies. It's not just Schrader Bluff. It's also West Sac and DeParc, which has been no discussion. The West End of Prudhoe Bay. All I'm saying, I don't think it's inconsistent. I think what we want is a complete analysis.
Okay, let me point out number two. It's your letter says House Bill 325 does not provide the state with any upside potential, and that is the same criticism that some have leveled at Senate Bill 318, and wondered if your positions on the two bills are consistent.
Mr. Chairman, again, in North Star, it depends on what the future holds as to what the state receives. Under a very high oil price scenario, we would be better off probably with a profit share, perhaps, assuming anybody would develop the field to begin with. Under a flat oil price scenario or a lower oil price scenario, the state makes out better. So the upside potential sort of is based on what the future might hold. I don't consider that to be inconsistent. I consider it, again, to be an analysis in a set of conditions that have an outcome depending on the future.
Let me point out the third point. It's, the letter says it does not require any commitment to employ Alaska residents. We in this committee have floated a committee substitute that helps improve the prospects of the hiring of Alaska residents, and to which we have received some criticism, including that from the department. And just wondered if your newfound concern for the employment of Alaska residents is consistent with your other position.
Mr. Chairman, again, in the North Star deal, I believe that the level of commitment to Alaska hire was taken a step farther than anything that's in current leases. Here, there's nothing at all. I mean, there's no mention of it. At least in North Star, I think you've taken this another step forward. And the legislature is trying to take another step beyond that. Again, we walk up against the Constitution, as you all know. I think everybody's committed to Alaska hire. And again, I think the North Star bill, or the North Star contract, shows a heightened level of Alaska hire. This bill just doesn't address that.
Do we have any further questions from committee members? Any gentleman wish to respond to anything that was said before the committee takes action?
Mr. Chairman, for the record, John Tulling, yes, not in response to Mr. Boyd, but just to say briefly that Oxy's reviewed the CS and is frankly impressed with the product. You've taken care of a number of both technical and troubling issues, including the problem dealing with dual completions by simply saying that dual completions in the two producing zones aren't eligible at all, which is a clean and easy way out of it. And Oxy supports the CS and thanks the committee for the hard look that they've taken at this legislation.
Okay. Mr. Papillon?
I don't have anything more to add.
Okay, do we have any committee discussion? Senator Frank?
Well, one issue that has been brought to my attention is this whole issue of where the price cutoff should be. If we look at a $16 barrel price, and we provide the royalty relief, what are we doing going from? Forgotten. What are we going down to?
2%.
We're down to 2%. From 12 to 2. So that. What does that translate to in dollars? In dollars, in terms $1. I mean, per barrel. I mean.
Well, Senator Frank, the intent of the $15 limitation in there is to be a reported royalty or commonly called a wellhead, but not real, actually a wellhead type price. Mm-hmm. It's the price we receive for the product that's sold out of the milling point unit. And the $15 was established as some sort of an upside protection for the state in the event there's a sustained run up in oil prices.
Mm-hmm.
And so in terms of today's prices, we have seen a spike up. I haven't seen recent prices, but I would suspect that the wellhead or lag meter values may be up to $15 or more right now. But I would also caution that we've seen these type of run-ups before, and we've seen them run up and we've seen them fall dramatically. In fact, I would point out that during the Persian Gulf War, they ran up quite high and very quickly ran down to where Milne Point wellhead was $3 a barrel very shortly thereafter. So the intent of the $15 was to provide some upside protection in the event of a sustained run-up in oil prices.
I guess my point is that I think we may have this $15 too high because we're giving up our royalty almost entirely, and if we're to recover, if prices come up by more than we're giving up on the royalty, companies are just as well off as if we had given up our royalty. And it seems like we're giving up too much in terms of we're setting the price too high there. It just doesn't make common sense. I mean, if you're saying, okay, we can't make it economically now, but if you give us a royalty break and that's maybe a buck, say it's a buck a barrel, I don't know what it is, but let's assume it was a buck a barrel. It doesn't make logical sense to have that floor or that ceiling or whatever you call it, floor or ceiling, or that price set at a point that you've got to recover $4, $5, $6 back before we start recovering our full royalty back. It seems like once the prices rise back to the point where you've got an extra buck from the market, why should we be giving up the extra money? That's the point that I'm making.
Mr. Chairman, the Oxy's economics, the economic analysis that Oxy ran, assumptions of which are all on the record, demonstrated, I think, that at today's projected oil prices, Department of Revenue's projections of future oil prices, the development of this field is going to be uneconomic. And then the retort that we got in the House was, well, what if oil prices increase above and beyond the expectations in the Department of Revenue?
So why are you going to do it if you, are you disagree with the Department of Revenue's oil price forecast?
No. Without using the Department of Revenue's oil, we integrated the Department, we use the Department of Revenue's oil price forecast in our economics. Without a royalty incentive, using those price forecasts, the development is uneconomic.
Okay, but all I'm saying is that all we've got on the table to give you back is a buck. You know, we're somewhere on that order. Okay, so when the oil price starts to go up, like I said, the market's going to provide additional dollars into the pot, and instead of the state getting the money after that first dollar, gets given back by the market, you're going to keep asking the state to give up its royalty instead of, while the market may have gone up $3 or $4, and we were only talking about a dollar, we only have the ability, or the legislation only contemplates giving up, I don't know what it is, somewhat on an order of a dollar, and yet if the oil price rises $3 or $4, we're still not going to be getting our dollar. And that's what I think, it just doesn't make common sense. I don't know, maybe it makes oil company sense, but it doesn't make common sense to me.
The other reason why it's $15 and it's a little higher than what the forecast had been for, say, 1996, I believe our economics were based on somewhere around $11.50 of a wellhead price over the year, is that because of just things like what we've seen in the past, the price goes up and then it drops back down. And in order to be able to average that and expect to have an incentive that operates on an average oil price of $11.50, you need the upside. You need it to be able to float up to $15 a barrel and still have an incentive all the way up to $15 a barrel, so it can pay for the times when the prices are down way below, like they were during the Persian Gulf War. And subsequent to that. So it's just to account for the fluctuations in oil price over a yearly period. We've seen them fluctuate dramatically. And yet still, if there's a sustained run-up in prices, then obviously the economics are much better, and the state gets that full share of royalty on that.
The $15 being that amount that is just over the Department of Revenue's price projections, and bear in mind in that respect that the $15 doesn't inflate. So that $15 will be $14.80 next year and $14.60 the year after that. And then, of course, anything over the $14.60 or $14.40 or whatever it is, the state will get their royalty share on that. That was an important change that the House Finance Committee, I believe, made, is to take the inflator out so that ceiling shrinks every year.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Lincoln.
Thank you. I'd like to hear your response to the department's statement that the bill does not provide for Alaska hires, since that's a major concern that I've got. And there isn't any provision within the bill for that. How do you react to that?
I'm afraid that, unfortunately, Mr. Chairman, Oxy is the wrong person to ask that. This is not to dodge the question, because I know how serious it is. But Oxy's not the operator of the unit. Oxy's a minority interest holder and doesn't hire anybody but a juvenile lawyer. But the University of Alaska Anchorage, when it did its economic impact analysis of the development of the field, looked at track records for similar developments and concluded that upwards of 80% of the people that got these pretty high-paying long-term jobs were going to be Alaska residents. And that wasn't a political statement. That was the best professional judgment of qualified folks there at UAA. I think the UAA report should be a big comfort to this committee in the proportion of jobs that are going to go to Alaska residents.
Would, as a follow-up, would you have objection to putting that in the legislation that there will be Alaska hires?
Again, not representing the operator of the unit, I'm afraid, Senator, I can't answer that. It would have no effect on Oxy because, as I say, Oxy doesn't hire folks.
Senator Frank?
Yeah, I'm concerned about the local hire provision, too. I don't know that, I guess Oxy doesn't have a record and won't have a record, but I'm concerned about what is going on and has gone on the slope in terms of local hire. And, you know, there's lots of controversy about what we're trying to do in 318 to improve those provisions, and the chairman's getting criticized, you know, for doing the modest work he has done on the bill as it is. I don't know, that's still a big issue for me. And I'm not sure, you know, exactly how you address it.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, one of the attributes of this bill is that it's a proposal brought forward by a new independent oil company trying to expand its stake in Alaska. And one of the encouraging things about the movement of this bill through the legislature is it sends a positive signal that Alaska wants new actors, it wants new blood in its oil industry, because, you know, the old blood has created these controversies. I guess I think personally that it would be a shame if controversies associated with the existing players in Alaska's oil industry would hurt your efforts to try and encourage new independents to come to the state.
Well, that, Mr. Chairman, it might be a shame. I think we'd be able to take a kind of a fresh look if we were talking, if Oxy was operating. You know, we'd probably take them at their word for a while. You know, they're not operating; they're just in the boat with the BP, I guess. So that's the record we do have to go on, and, you know, I guess there's some difference of opinion as to how that's working. But I don't know. I'm still looking for some more effective means to ensure the last move of fire, because it's a big issue in my town.
It's a big issue anything. All around the state.
Almost as big as the university.
Yeah.
Maybe bigger.
Just to refresh my memory, we're talking about the severance being pretty low because of ELF on this. I can't remember.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Next to nothing, or?
I think next to nothing is probably pretty close.
So we really are talking about jobs. And if the benefit of the thing is supposed to be jobs, because it isn't going to do much for the Treasury, and at least in the short term, then we do have to, I think, make sure that jobs are going.
If, Mr. Chairman, you believe the field would be developed in the absence of this legislation, I think the 15-year history of tried and failed efforts to develop heavy oil up there suggests that it wouldn't be. We've never advocated this bill as a jobs for oil these bill. We believe it's going to have a positive fiscal impact on the state.
You mean because, I'm sorry to dominate the conversation, you mean because of the price escalator going down?
No, because if the legislature is unsuccessful in encouraging full development of Schrader Bluff in particular, what you're looking at is about $60 million in royalties over the life of the field from the little pilot project that exists there now. Whereas even under the original legislation, which has now been whittled down a little bit, the state would receive about $425 million in royalties.
Further committee discussion? Pleasure. Oh, we do have this person signed up to testify, Mike O'Callaghan in Anchorage.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, Mike O'Callaghan here. Thank you for the opportunity to address you. I appreciate that. Kind of one of the questions I have is I haven't seen any fields up here that aren't developable. Most of them certainly seem to be. I would think that one of the primary contingents on developing the field is the rate with which Alyeska Pipeline Corporation charges to run the oil through their pipeline. That kind of, if you will, is a restrictor on any other independents to want to come up here. That fee is so high, unless you were one of the big three that own it, it's prohibitive to develop your oil. But if you own that, certainly you gain revenue from that process in developing your oil. I certainly have a couple of thoughts on this heavy oil. It's kind of a marginal thing, if you will, I think. One of my friends had kind of an interesting statement. He said, you know, the way things are going in this state in the last 5 years, you would think that indeed that all the oil were a hazardous waste and that we ought to pay the oil companies to take it out. You know, this is basically a giveaway, and you guys are supposed to be down there protecting our maximum benefit for the people of the state of Alaska. Now, last year you guys passed the bill through that allows the head of the Department of Natural Resources to negotiate the royalty down to as little as 3% on so-called marginal fields that pump less than 500 barrels a day. You better bet your bottom dollar that any field that you give that to isn't going to pump over 500 barrels a day. They're going to pump 499 or 495. We're giving away the farm, folks. Please don't do that. Hang on to this stuff. Now, I'm down in Colorado visiting some relatives down there this spring, and the neighbor across the street had a well, oil well. He probably had about a 2,000-gallon tank on his property. What he would do is that he would fire up the well when he needed some money. He'd fill up, maybe get 1,000, 1,500 gallons. He'd call up the oil company, they'd come over with their truck, they'd lug it up, and they'd haul it away. He'd do that maybe 2-3 times a year. Now that, to me, is a marginal field, but it works for him. He was making money off of it. He didn't need any royalty breaks. Certainly the transportation costs are very low. Access to refineries are easy, but I don't see any marginal fields. If it's marginal, they won't be pumping it. If it's profitable, they will be pumping it. I'd hang on this one for a while, and we've heard these threats before that they're not profitable, and so they won't do it. So let's just hang on and see if they do develop it, or if they let the leases go back to the state. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. That completes the testimony from those I have signed up. Let me just check to make sure that there's nobody who's come in since. Is there anybody else in the Anchorage site that wishes to testify on House Bill 325?
Nobody at this time.
Here in Juneau? Any further committee discussion?
What's the term on the royalty reduction? Is it on the expiration date?
I think it's 2 years, 2% for 5 years, if I remember correctly. Is that 1800 and...
Where is that appearing?
1825 days.
Oh. I've never seen anything like that.
Page 2, line 7.
Page 2, line 7. Okay. I was looking for something to say.
Yeah, that's just under 5 years if you count for a leap year. You miss a couple of day or two. Okay. Further committee discussion. What's the pledge of the committee regarding House Bill 325 as amended in committee?
I make a motion to remove it with individual recommendations and the appropriate fiscal notes.
Is there any objection to the motion to report? Hearing none, House Bill 325 as amended is reported from the Resource Committee. Is there any further business to come before the committee today? Hearing none, just before we adjourn, the schedule is posted for Wednesday. DC Commissioner, and I expect that we will have comments from the Division of Oil and Gas regarding Senate Bill 318, and we'll be able to deal with the North Star bill at that time. And House Bill 394, and what's the topic of that? That's shallow gas wells. There'll be no further business coming for us. We are adjourned.